Well, we're going to make things not miserable. We're going to make things bright and sunny because we've got Bright and Sunny from Florida. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web. But they're with us every Tuesday morning, and I do believe they're braving the Florida weather right now to speak to us. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not sure whether or not is Tim there.
Yes,
he's on
good
the road.
Morning.
Oh, good morning.
Now, where Overland. Are you, Tim? Where are you,
I'm
Tim?
In Overland, Kansas.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm an hour behind you and about... Well, how what was your temperature, Marshall?
Our temperature this morning is right now standing at 39 degrees.
Oh, okay. I'm a little colder. We're at 31.
And I'm a little warmer. We're at 54.
But it was chilly. It was chilly this weekend.
I guess, Tim, you can't say you're not in Kansas anymore.
No. Actually, I can say that in about 2 hours because I leave to go to New York City. So... this was my long journeys. I was in Savannah for a big fundraising event on Friday, then flew here to Overland Park, which actually my cousins moved here about a year ago. He's in the investment business and from Cleveland, and it was great because I was able to spend time with them on Saturday and part of Sunday. And then I am in town with the National Auctioneers Association and with some of my colleagues, we are redesigning the graduate personal property appraisal class and working with new technologies so that we can move some things online, assign who's going to do some of those, the voiceovers and film things, and just tighten up the curriculum and make sure that we are providing the most up-to-date information about appraisal methodologies, theory, IRS, the uniform standards of professional appraisal practice, and do some post-educational things. So we had a very, very productive day yesterday, just going through and hashing out, well, what are our goals? What do we want to make sure we accomplish? And getting things together. So it was a very interesting process. They're going to finish up today. It's a half a day, but I'm moving on to my next location is New York City to work with Gurjohns and several projects that we're working there. And it'll be my first time to go into their office and meet the entire team of that appraisal business. They are in Midtown on toward the east side. So I think it's on 55th.
Okay.
So I'm excited to do that. I've met some of them, but you know, this will be meeting everyone. And on Friday, I will be teaching them the uniform standards of professional appraisal practice, doing their 7-hour update, which just about everyone in the company, they have gone through. So I'm a member of the company, I can teach that through the ISA, the International Society of Appraisers.
And so. Is that a certification, for lack of a better word, that they have to do yearly or every couple of years, et cetera?
Every two years, it's a mandatory for all appraisers, whether you're real estate, business, intangible, or personal property. And it is a 7-hour continuing education update. And if you miss that, then you have to take the 15-hour class with an exam and get through that. And it's to maintain your USPAP compliancy. So it's not certifying, but it's because in personal property, and this is a big misnomer, and it's a difficult word, is that in personal property, there's no certification of appraisers like there is with real property appraisers where they're certified by the state. But there are organizations, this is where it gets complicated, like the International Society of Appraisers or the Appraisers Association of America, that provide that they are certified through that organization, but there's no formal body that certifies appraisers.
And I just have to say that the more ancient I become, the more important I find it that people actually know that there's a core structure. You know, this isn't just so random. Hi, I'm appraising this because I can. Because everything, you know, in this sort of media-centric information distorted universe in that everybody, you know, like everyone is sipping from the same poisoned well. So it doesn't matter. But what it takes away from is the actual, you know, and I feel like I've said this forever and ever, but the actual framework for a business and what is entailed to be able to come out and say, yes, you know, I know enough about the what, the where, the when, and the how to be able to advise you, not just, hi, I put my hand on a rock and I'm an appraiser.
Right.
Well, there are people who, there are still appraisers who
put their hand on a rock.
Are putting their hand on the rock. And actually some, it's interesting you say that because what I was going to, if Tim wasn't available this morning, one of the things I wanted to talk about was I'm doing an appraisal, an insurance appraisal on an item, an art item, an outdoor sculpture that we had done originally in 2009. And it's since then has moved to another location and they want to do an insurance appraisal on it. So I, trying to come up with, we have to do a complete new appraisal on it because it's so long ago. Secondly, it's in a new location. And thirdly, and most importantly, the market has changed since 2009. So that's going to be happening next week. But the reason I bring it up is because over the weekend, a colleague of ours contacted me for some advice on a couple of items that were being done as an insurance appraisal. And she needed to have some guidance on the value. And so the value that I ended up for replacement gave her included all of the things we've talked about in the past, like the item itself, the buyer's premium, because the only place to buy this particular item is at auction or in a poster store. The shipping cost, any applicable sales tax, and any fees that are incurred in trying to come up with the item, to procure the item. So, and the comment was made that they just do a mention in the appraisal that they do not include all of those different items with the value. And for insurance purposes, my argument is that you need to really include, those are all relevant things that come up with the value of an item if it is destroyed or has to be replaced to make you whole again. So that the argument is, and Tim and I started talking a little bit about this, and he might be able to shed some more light on, because I'm of one school and Tim is partially of the school, but with some caveats. And my position is that all of these items are relevant on top of what the value of the poster is if you purchase it either from a retail outlet or an auction outlet, depending on the age of the item and its availability in the open market. So my feeling is that all of these items need to be included in the value, the insurance value of the item. And this other appraiser just says, I don't believe they do. And so the person is going to purchase insurance based on an amount that doesn't bring them back to a whole position if something is valued. So that's kind of where we're at this point in time. And my feeling is those other item, you know, the value also includes all of the shipping, and like, for example, a sculpture, if it has to be reinstalled and you need to, you should include that because it's going to It's going to affect how much the insurance company is going to pay you should it be damaged or destroyed. So we didn't have a chance really to talk too much about it because Tim's been on the road. So
what's the essence? I think we've got a couple minutes left, and I'm just trying to figure out what's the essence of where's the disparity in position?
Well, from my perspective, is that you don't know what the client has also requested, so and what the insurance is going to cover, and you want to make sure that all of are they paying out for retail replacement and everything that goes along with it, or is it just fair market value? Is that what they're looking for? Because some insurance companies, all that they want is the fair market value. If we had to, because it's basically actual cash value, less depreciation. We'll get very technical here. But when you look at these terms, you have to know what the insurance policy is written to. And what I advise a lot of appraisers when they come to me and say, well, this is what I'm doing, and they'll say, well, how has the insurance company defined what it is, what is their value definition? What value do they need? Because you have to go by what they are going to replace, because you can't make those extraordinary assumptions that, oh, wait, it's got to include everything. Sometimes it does. And yes, it should, because for insurance, you have to look at the frame, you have to look at the installation, you have to do this. But in some cases, it's not. And that's my only caveat, is that in order to provide what the client needs, is that you have to know what the intended use is and what the value definitions are, because that's where the credibility of your appraisal report lies, in the intended use. What's it going to be used for? And you have to ask those questions. And when you're being consulted, you don't have a lot of that information because you're not talking to the client. You don't know. So that was my only caveat, is you have to make sure that it's based on the value definition, and the value definition and the use guides the appraiser into the direction of what they need to do. And to go back to your point, Jill, is that because of this media age, we just see somebody on television, hi, and the camera goes right up to them and says, what is this worth? And they just pull it out. That's where this whole mystique comes out that, oh, you just must know all this stuff and immediate. And that's so untrue, because there is so much research and so many other questions that need to be asked that go into it. And, you know, that you can't just say, yes, okay, I'm an appraiser and I can do this. There's a lot of other things that go along with it. And that is what we were doing yesterday, is breaking down what are all the steps that we want to make sure that we have anyone who takes the class will know that here it's much more than putting a value on something, because it's more about you're acting as an appraiser and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're asking all of these questions of your client to ensure that you're providing them what they need. So,
all right, we're out of time. I happen to have more questions, but we will talk to you next week.
You'll both be in the same place next week?
No. Next week, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see. On paper.
You're going to have to come record an album, The Vagabonds.
The Vag Appraisers.
Amazing. Well, hey,
guys have a great week.
You too. Thanks. Guys. Good luck.
Bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.